Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. Tim, Michael, Mo, and the occasional guest discussing digital analytics issues of the day. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/analytics hour and their website analyticshour.io. And now, the Digital Analytics Power Hour.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. This is episode 103. Listen, we all deal with marketers, and generally, they're great people. Some of you are marketers, and you're the great ones I was talking about. But real talk for a minute. Sometimes marketers aren't good at the techie stuff. But one thing they seem to always be good at is really wanting whatever that latest category of the Scott Brinker MarTech map is currently promising to solve all their problems. Today's landscape, it's CDPs, or customer data platforms. I can dig it. Tim, am I being too hard on marketers?
You couldn't be too hard on anybody ever if you tried your hardest. And I don't think I'm being too hard on you for saying that.
All right. Mo, am I not giving CDPs enough credit?
Just have a bit of a chat about it and then we can regroup.
And then I have to ask myself a question. So isn't giving marketers great tools to connect with their customers a good thing, Michael? Yeah, I guess so. Okay, I guess we're going to find out. Now, you probably remember way back on episode 53, we actually discussed CDPs with Todd Belcher. But since then, Todd has stopped working for Blueconic, which is a CDP, and started working for himself. And now he's dishing out all kinds of great information and knowledge on his new site, cdpresource.com. We're glad to welcome him back on the show. Welcome back, Todd.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be back.
All right. So let's kick this off this way. I think you probably defined CDP on episode 53. Hopefully you haven't gone back and listened. So could you define CDP again? And then all of our listeners can compare and then comment on the Measure Slack about how we didn't make the same definition twice.
Or would that actually be expected? Because it does seem like an area that is evolving with so many entrants. Is the definition actually changing?
Kind of everything is a CDP right now.
Right. I was very curious to see what I said, and I did listen to that episode a couple times over the last week or so. So,
well thanks for boosting our numbers.
That's right.
I would say my definition probably hasn't changed a ton, except, you know, certainly at that point in time, every word that I said was under the big eye of software. So right now I can kind of define the category however I please, which is nice. But it doesn't really make it any easier, unfortunately. So the way that I define customer data platforms today is to say that they facilitate the use of entire lifecycle customer data, meaning just about any information that you could capture about a customer without a vendor-based preference for where data is coming from or going to. And I don't know if that's a few enough buzzwords. I know I got knocked on that one last time, but I'll check in with you guys and see.
Well, since we recorded last, it is exciting to announce that this podcast is actually a CDP and leveraging blockchain technology. We're also accepting sponsors for 2018. So line up.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
When you say customer entire lifecycle, and this is, as I've kind of talked to some specific CDPs, and it does seem like there are CDPs that say entire lifecycle from the point that they become known forward. And others say, when we say entire lifecycle, we mean we will bring in from your DMP, these can be unknown, you know, just IDs that enables us to stitch them backwards. So when we say entire lifecycle, I think they go forward after they become known and then become a customer and then over their entire, you know, life with the company is one thing, but how far upstream and does it vary? Does it depend on who you ask and what, or what matters to you?
Of course, yes. So there are dozens and dozens of systems in the category and they have taken many different shapes. And certainly that kind of anonymous data or data coming from advertising, I think you're kind of getting at. may or may not be something that's included within the kind of context of customer data. But almost always, there is at least some sense of anonymous being converted to identified data.
Okay, so that would be, they come to the website, they're anonymous, the CDP may be collecting some stuff, then they convert and it stitches them back, or even if it's on a subsequent visit. I guess it's more kind of the DMP, the impressions, the audience. And I remember we had this discussion last time of where's the line between a DMP and a CDP? Do I need both? Are DMPs all trying to go sort of, I guess, down market to say they'll take in that first party data as well and become your CDP? I don't know. It still makes my head hurt. Everybody I talk to seems to say, here's the definitive definition. And then it completely counters something that another vendor has said.
Certainly, you have a number of problems there where the categories have overlap and the vendors or providers may also portray there to be overlap in areas where there isn't, or there's similarities that aren't overlap. So one example of that would be using a DMP to personalize email versus using a CDP to personalize email. The data management platform personalizing email is very different from a customer data platform personalizing email. At least from what I've seen, the DMP is capable of changing offers out in an email, but it's done based on anonymized IDs that are being matched to known identifiers in the email, and there's not necessarily an orchestrated email campaign here. This is what's the next best offer for this person. Let's put that in their email in a spot that has an ad.
Got it.
And that data management platform approach to personalizing email is very different, I think, from what we see with a customer data platform and actually sending, completely different email content to people.
So, sorry, you keep referring to emails, and we've just gone through the process of our first CDP, and a big discussion point is about deduping accounts. What's the sort of industry best standard? Is that something that most CDPs kind of have to offer now, or like how is that being managed by the industry?
So there's a huge divide in the customer data platform category where, some percentage of the customer data platforms have kind of data management capabilities around identity, and those go all the way to deduplicating and probabilistic matching on things like addresses or partial addresses or phone numbers, normalizing addresses and phone numbers and email addresses and matching on all that information is kind of a data management function that some CDPs have and some do not have. And then you have other systems that are not CDPs at all, who also help with that type of information.
I'd love to just quickly pause and do a quick little definition, if you don't mind, Todd, for people around probabilistic and deterministic matching, because I think that's helpful for people thinking through the CDP concept.
Sure. In this context, when I'm thinking of deterministic matching, I'm thinking of you have one or multiple systems with identifiers, and your deterministic matching is taking an identifier that says ABC and finding another identifier from another system that says ABC and saying those are the same person. Where probabilistic, there's actually a couple different flavors of that, where probabilistic can mean still using PII or collected information about customers and trying to determine what the probability that this record is the same person as this record based on partial matching. And that's a different probability to me than what DMPs have offered in the past with probabilistic matching, where they're saying, well, this person's on the same IP address and they also use most of the same browser plugins. So let's assume that it's the same person.
Which gets, because the whole nature of probabilistic matching is that there's no guarantee. You're not going to set your probabilistic matching threshold at 99.99999 and say, I'm going to treat it as deterministic. I mean, you might, but that's part of the challenge with probabilistic matching is that it's a probability. It's not a guaranteed. This actually, I feel like every few weeks when I'm back in the CDP world, I have these flashbacks to about 11 or 12 years ago when we had a whole customer data integration initiative at the company I was at, which was kind of something screaming out for a CDP, because we found that we were sending to some customers, we were sending them 11 emails in a week, but that was because they were registered with us in different systems. And so we went through this whole exploration of saying, how many of these fields have to be an exact match for us to say this is absolutely the same person? But Todd, so are you saying, and again, this is, feels like one of those questions that I've asked a couple of vendors, there are some that say, yes, we will do probabilistic matching and we will take on all the overhead that comes with that, because now you need to be very careful about not treating a probabilistic match as a deterministic match. So there's a whole world to that. And there are others that say, no, we will let you join. We will let you do deterministic stuff, but that's not really, we're not going to get into the probabilistic and the kind of fuzzier world of matching. And that again is kind of some vendors do, some vendors don't.
Right. It's definitely where we're at right now. And I think it's okay because certainly there are organizations that already have some form of MDM system in place that's doing
master
this.
Master data management. Man, we are dropping the...
Excuse me.
We are dropping the acronyms.
Jargon Patrol. Yeah,
thank you for that. Yes. But that's right. So a more established organization will already have something in place that's doing records management, making sure that records are unified, that there's a system of record and a customer profile, even if it's not real time. So it's not a customer data platform, but it is helping to resolve identities. And that information can be used in a customer data platform that maybe doesn't have those types of features.
So Mo, what prompted, do you know what was kind of the driving force behind we, the Iconic, need to add a CDP? What was the problem? How tightly was the problem defined that the hope that would address?
Yeah, I think it was just the common problem where we have all of our own different channel owners and they want to be able to segment customers in different way and push messaging across different channels and have it be really consistent, because basically they were operating across, you know, like 8 to 10 different platforms plus. And they were struggling, I think, sometimes to identify the specific groups that they wanted to do. The thing that's been really interesting on the side is that I probably didn't anticipate that it would help me from an analytics point of view. I probably came at this thinking very much about a CDP being a tool for a marketer. And it's actually had this kind of side benefit of me being able to say, look at a group of customers and then understand a whole bunch of different attributes about that group of customers, which I could do in SQL. I can write it in SQL, but instead of writing like 200 plus lines of code and spending probably 3 hours, I can now kind of go in there and do that pretty quickly. Yeah, so I probably, from my perspective, underestimated how useful it would be to myself. So that's wow. Been pretty interesting.
So a platform has been rolled out and it actually exceeded expectations.
Mm. Yeah, I know. It's kind of
maybe
nice,
in the Southern Hemisphere, that sort of thing can happen. I didn't realize that was ever a possibility.
The thing that I wanted to chat to you about, Todd, is these things can also go horribly, horribly wrong. Like anything that you implement, it's all about how it's implemented. Who in an organization should be part of this decision, and like which vendor you choose to go with and why, and what kind of attributes are put in there, and what kind of I guess values are you concerned with, like, and makes who makes those decisions about do you do probabilistic matching or not,
and who owns the whole, who tends to own it, right? Because you're inherently trying to break down where does it best live, or where does it typically live, and where should it best live.
So there is no one situation. There's no one common path even for folks to decide we need a customer data platform. Sometimes there's a very specific problem that you need to solve, and that has kind of pointed you in that direction. And you end up kind of then considering what are all the other things that we might be able to use a customer data platform for, and kind of backing into it that way versus having a holistic data strategy and coming at it from the angle that the customer data platform will be used by the entire organization, and it will need to, you know, have some sense of governance. Analysts will need this. We're going to deploy data from this platform across, you know, multiple groups within the company. Those are very different situations. And so it certainly depends on what the context is that the customer data platform is being purchased for. Like the best case scenario is certainly that the technology and the data of the customer data are centralized, and that, you know, there is organization and people have thought about a first party data program, and not just how do we personalize messaging to our customers and how do we build our business through customer interactions and just working as better partners for our customers, but also what data do we have as an organization that we may be able to capitalize on next year or the year after. Really thinking about not just individual customer profiles, but the aggregate of those profiles and what the ownership of all that data actually means is something that I think a lot of organizations are starting to kind of figure out. This is what we can be doing with the customer data platform. It's personalization is absolutely a great thing. Activation of the data in order so you can personalize any communication channel, whether it's a services or support channel or an acquisition channel, are all important things. But there's also this other area where if you have a data lake or some massive amount of customer data combined with other business data and context or experiential data, however you want to call it, if you put all that together, now you have first party data that you could assume no other organization has. And how can you capitalize on that? And how can you use that either to monetize it directly or to better build your business? I think those are really interesting questions now that should be considered as you're evaluating a customer data platform.
But does that mean that as you're describing that, it seems like there is this really fine line to walk that if you say we're going to solve this one specific problem, we're over-communicating our customers or we're not doing effective personalization or whatever, you can make a decision for a CDP that's a little bit short-sighted and doesn't have kind of a long-term vision. If you have the long-term vision of saying we're going to pivot, and there's probably some organizational thinking in a shift that's kind of a 2 or 3 year plan. And to do that, we need this foundational enabling technology, but we have to be careful that we're not promising that it's going to solve every problem anybody in the organization has ever had. And we have to have it on a deployment, on a rollout process that means it's delivering value, which seems like it could be, hey, the first thing it's going to do is enable analytics to be more effective. But a thing with the CDP, as I understand it, is it's specifically meant to be able to support operationalized use of the data. So it's not a data warehouse, master customer record, 360 degree view of the customer that can only be used for analysis. So it does seem like it's a big challenge, especially as the landscape is got just every week, there's another 5 vendors on the market. So even trying to figure out where to start considering, but somehow somebody in the organization with enough authority, enough vision, enough pragmatism, kind of balancing pragmatism with vision, has to sort of try to lay out what's going to happen. So it seems like it almost has to be part of a broader data strategy that you're really setting yourself up just for vendor creep. If you say, we're going to add another technology that's going to pull data from these half dozen systems and solve this one problem, you're almost certainly painting yourself into a corner that 2 years from now, you're going to be like, that was not the right way to go.
Yeah. And it's hard to say, because let's suppose for a second that setting up, either building up your own kind of platform of customer data or buying a more infrastructural customer data platform that's really helping consolidate your data, build out a data lake, manage the customer records. If that has a longer implementation cycle and you have needs next quarter, then you want to talk about vendor creep. Why not look at two customer data platforms? The spectrum is so varied that I could actually see you going through an evaluation cycle for kind of foundational or infrastructural customer data platform, you know, with the entire team, and at the same time taking kind of an innovation team or something within your organization and saying, that's all great, but we also need to start learning about unifying customer data and activating it now. So we're also going to add this other CDP that's more experience focused in nature, and maybe we could be a bit more agile with getting it up and running, because we know that work is really feeding into the more foundational work that we expect to get done later.
So how does this fit with, I guess, the movement that's going on in analytics and data science at the moment, which is very much kind of going the other way? It's really moving away from vendors. You know, teams want to use open source. They want to build themselves. And that's really like a prominent trend in the industry that I'm seeing anyway. And going through this CDP process myself, it actually feels like that's the opposite of that trend, that again, you're giving data to a vendor who then gives you something back. So it feels like there's kind of like a bit of tension there.
I think it depends on the customer data platform for sure. So Heap Analytics is actually an interesting company because they put out a somewhat of an anti-customer data platform white paper, I think it was a month or two ago. It was kind of saying, look, you can build your own customer data platform and here's how you do it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting for sure, but at the same time, you know, looking at the infrastructure part of what you're trying to do with customer data, you're trying to collect a whole bunch of information and put it in one place. That's the data lake. Whether you use Heap to do that or you use a CDP to collect that information, you're still doing it. And so the customer data platform doesn't have to be the collection point. If you're using another tool to collect all that information, that's great. The customer data platform is there to help with everything after that.
So do customer data platforms typically allow, I guess maybe I'm going to answer this myself. Like one of the challenges with like DMPs, they say, or attribution, you know, management platforms, they're like, we will bring it all together. And then on step two of the implementation is deploy our data collection mechanism everywhere that you want to include this. Are some CDPs, you know, they're the tag management systems that are pivoting and saying, we're a CDP. Well, they're kind of inherently out there in the, let's drop a tag in a bunch of places. So I kind of assume they're saying, yes, unified data, even if you're dropping a tag in a some sort of server-side mechanism to pull data in, but do CDPs typically, or is there a class of CDPs that say, hey, if you can whiteboard what the keying is, let's stick with deterministic for now, then you can bring in data from Heap or from Adobe Analytics, and you don't have to change those at all as long as we've got a way to link it to your email platform data, we will bring both of those in?
To me, that's basically the definition of a CDP, is that they must be able to do that. Whether they can collect their own data or not, they should also be able to ingest data that's collected from some other system.
Well, but do they? And I mean, I guess I want to say that like MarTech, what's the current count? What's your ballpark on how many, knowing that there's a gap between when we're recording this and when it rolls out? So with your predictive analytics, how many platforms will be out there calling themselves CDPs? It's like got to be over 80, isn't it?
It is, yes. I think you can go 90 to 100 right now, but they're not necessarily all calling themselves a customer data platform, but maybe Scott Brinker or David Robb or somebody out there has pointed at that and said, looks like or smells like a customer data platform. And certainly a lot of them are saying, you know, yes, we're this other thing, but we have this customer data platform technology as part of that.
Well, maybe to put you on the spot because of the magic of time and the lack of time travel, like your guide that recently came out, how many vendors does that have in it?
93.
Okay. Holy crap. Okay.
Wow.
And it's probably already outdated, even though I'm talking about it before I've officially seen it.
Well, now I have to make sure I delete enough vendors that it ends up being exactly,
exactly 93.
It can be 93 or more. Yeah. But so it's interesting, Mo, that you perceive CDPs as kind of monolithic in that sense, because I still view them very much as point solutions and not part of sort of bigger ecosystems yet. Like,
what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
No, like, I'm like, what? So like what? Adobe doesn't have a CDP. Google doesn't have a CDP.
Are you including Adobe? Like, I mean, doesn't Audience Manager kind of start to claim that they can?
That's a DMP. Historically, anyways. I'm not saying they're not working on that stuff. I'm just saying, like, they're not part of the, like, if you look at, like, the, what is it, the hype cycle or whatever?
Gartner
hype cycle. Like, we're very much in this, like, ascendant, like, early phase of all of this, where it's, like, lots and lots of, like, and we haven't even yet begun, like, the mass consolidation phase where all the big players swoop in and and sweep up all of the CDB players.
I operate in the trough of disillusionment on all topics, so I don't care where you think CDBs
all right,
are.
That's where that's where I see disillusionment. Them. Treasure Data got bought, but there's still a lot of them.
Data. I mean, Salesforce buying Datarama, and all of a sudden they're talking like Datarama is a CDB.
But it's not, is it?
Well, so Datarama certainly had been included in customer data platform lists, you know, way prior to that acquisition. So certainly it has some of the capabilities that customer data platforms have. I didn't see it doing that much from a delivery standpoint. It seemed like much more of an analytics platform.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because I agree that it wasn't doing – okay. Yeah.
It's but hard. That's part of the part of the messiness.
This is the thing that frustrates me about CDPs, I think, is that it's just super hard to like really drill down into what exactly each one of them is and then stick to it.
It's almost like you need like a guide.
Yeah, I feel like if there was some sort of guide.
You know, and what's funny too is I do have my guide should hopefully be out by the time this podcast is released. Right now.
Frankly, right at this now. Point, it better be, Todd. I mean, really.
Yes. So today you can go to MarTech Advisor and get their guide, which is fabulous. It covers so much content in the area of customer data platforms.
Every time I go to their guide, I feel like I'm getting like part nine. I even followed a link from your blog.
I understand. Yes. It's because they've been doing this for a long time. I think they set out to do like a 9-part series on CDPs way back in the spring. And I think part 8 or something is this guide, which is super valuable because it covers a lot of use cases, not every use case, but a lot of them. And that would really help any organization looking to evaluate a customer data platform think a little bit more broadly about what features all the platforms could potentially have so they can figure out what features are important to them and start to pare down that list a little bit.
But realistically, are there some that are, and I feel like we have run through into Michael's point, of the hype cycle, I feel like we've run through this with BI, we've run through this with web analytics, where you get three kids in a Bay Area, you know, co-working space and saying, we drew it up on a whiteboard and we figured this out. And you're like, wow, between you have, you know, 7 minutes of post-college work experience and you're designing something and you've got slideware that talks about how you've got this licked, as opposed to, you know, take a Telium, you know, they've been in the industry, whether it was the CDP industry or not, they actually have been talking with real marketers, real companies, you know, talking about their stuff. So when that's part of it, I just want to have the line to say, what's my risk aversion level? Because yes, you may have designed a better mousetrap, but I'm sorry, you've literally seen a picture of a mouse in an Encyclopedia Britannica. And that's it. I'd kind of rather have somebody who's been exterminating mice for, you know, 5 or 10 years telling me they've got a better mousetrap. So is there a case of that? Are there upstarts saying we're a CDP, we figured it out. And the reality is it's like, it's 2 or 3 smart people, but they maybe don't have the breadth and depth of knowledge about the reality.
You could also argue that they haven't been biased by the industry and will actually build something for a specific use case rather than trying to tackle like 10,000 problems with one product.
No. So, I mean, I'm totally legit. I mean, I'm the one who said Salesforce.com, like cloud-based CRM would never work. I mean, those were guys who came out of Oracle, which was a disaster, and Salesforce was awesome. So I can't predict. That's a great point. Like, no, why don't you just do a clean slate and actually get down to the fundamentals of the problem. Although to me, customer data does feel like, again, I mean, CDI was, I was in long meetings about customer data integration, and there's a lot that sounds the same.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I think the definition of customer data platform needs to include, and it might sound flippant, but it's the word software. Because like you've described, there are companies out there that don't have a whole lot of software. They have services and more services wrapped around a little bit of technology that they might have built. And that could be a 3-person startup on the West Coast. It could be a couple dozen person startup on the East Coast with VC backing. But they're both kind of in the same position where they've got great ideas and not a lot of screenshots or videos or proof to kind of share at this point. They may have even evolved out of an agency, and some of the stories that they have to share, if you really look at them, that's a web development story. They developed a new website is what they did.
Which is interesting. I mean, tag management systems are interesting. If you look at Insighten coming out of Stratagent, basically, and DTM came out of Search Discovery and, you know, became, I mean, Satellite became DTM. I'm not really, actually don't know what the Telium or the Signal backstories are. And some of those were, like, they actually were solving a very specific problem and figured out how to solve it very well. So they had enough of a near-term focus that they did establish an industry. Who is considered, is there anybody considered to be the first CDP?
You know, it's hard to say, because I think there are probably six or so systems that claim to be the first CDP, maybe more. And I don't have that as a, I should put that in my guide as like a, this system claims to be the first CDP.
Which would be awesome since it already came out.
Yes. What's interesting though, is if you really look at all the researchers or analysts out there and you just try to figure out which customer data platforms have been researched the most, do kind of like a 538 view of the field, you get a pretty short list of less than 10 providers who just about everybody includes in the report, which I think is interesting.
You're saying, so that's kind of doing a, what do they call that in academia, where you do a study of the studies. If you looked at the MarTech advisors, if you look at what David Robb says, if you look at anybody Gartner, who's Gartner, yes. And then you say, which are the ones that bubble up? That's interesting.
That's right. Yes. I think Real Story Group, Market and Markets, or Markets and Markets. There are a handful of folks who have done some form of customer data platform guide. And so each one includes a dozen or two dozen. In the case of MarTech Advisor, I think they actually included 60. So that's been the most complete look to date, though definitely a different approach than I have taken in my release guide.
Are there actually any open source products available? It's not something I've ever investigated.
Yes. Yeah, so the one to my knowledge is, and I hope I pronounce this correctly, is Jahia, J-A-H-I-A, is an open source customer data platform, if you will.
I mean, outside of an open source platform, are you finding that there are companies that have just been a little bit ahead of the curve and have basically developed, again, tag management system seems like a nice analog, and that there were companies that said they basically built an in-house tag management system because somebody on the dev team said, this is killing us, let's just do a project to, and they basically built a TMS, never going to commercialize it, just use it themselves. Are there organizations that have actually been able to look far enough into the future for their needs around customer where they've said, we don't need a CDP because we've already built something that's good enough and probably is mature and tailored to our organization. And therefore they're like, we have a CDP. It's just not a brand. We built it ourselves.
It's possible, but I think at that point, they're probably plugging into a couple of solutions that do a very big part of what you might expect a customer data platform to do in another organization. For example, orchestration and the campaign management piece, they probably have pretty heavy duty orchestration and campaign management, where some organizations are looking to a customer data platform to do that, they may actually be handing off their data to a system that strictly handles the orchestration of campaigns based on your customer data.
So you're saying they probably didn't build everything from scratch. They've got systems that they have integrated sufficiently to lessen the need. They probably still have some limitations. But does that mean they have an operational customer data store? Is that kind of something that almost has to exist?
Well, I think it certainly means that they have, they're bringing the customer data together somewhere. And if they're not doing that themselves, then they have, they may have put themselves in a bad situation. I don't remember how many years that we're looking, but it can be hard to predict where data is going to be coming from and what different forms it might take. So I think the nice thing about a customer data platform is it lifts a little bit of the the dependency on your own internal teams to take care of things like data ingestion, unification, and the delivery. Where certainly if you have a really tight plan and if you don't go off the road from that plan, you could look at the next couple of years and build out all the things that a customer data platform can do with other technologies one way or another. But yeah, I think at that point, for me, obviously biased, sitting here looking at nothing but customer data platforms for like 6 months, I would just say, why? You know, why at that point not think about offloading some of that effort, because connecting to other systems, and having people in house to keep all that maintained, it doesn't always seem to me like a valuable way to spend resources.
But it's when are you, like, if you have to, I mean, it's a classic, IT runs into this all the time, saying we're on a trajectory where this is unsustainable. So where you need to invest in a 6 month project that's going to take on an ongoing permanent licensing cost. And after 6 months, we will be roughly exactly where we are, but much better positioned for the future, which is a tough sell unless you've got that story of the envisioned future of 1, 2, 3 years down the road. And you've got the organizational fortitude to say, we're going to shift to this. Things are going to change. I mean, you're into kind of organizational change and expectations management. And then there's a risk. You're picking a vendor. I mean, although your point earlier of saying why not do the, scrape and scratch and kind of come up with one solution in the near term to solve a specific problem, but be very clear that the plan is to end of life that because you've got a larger enterprise-wide vision. It seems like, do CDPs generally, I assume, bubble up to the executive suite, that it's the CEO is buying into whatever the CIO or CTO is pitching?
CMO in our case.
It's the
CMO in our case, and he's been quite involved in the decision. I do think with time, our CDP, we use one called Lexa, will be used by everyone in the building, obviously with correct permissions, etc. But I do think it's really difficult because the climate at the moment is that most companies don't want to commit to anything. I mean, getting an exec to sign a contract for a year at the moment is tough, let alone 2 years. So having that foresight of we're going to build this and it's going to be with us for 3 to 5 years and we're going to keep adding to it, I actually think that's pretty tough in the current climate.
But it's, if you're thinking about it, you're like, and that's why there's probably part of the reason the industry is exploding is because there's, I'm assuming, ridiculous switching costs if you can get, implemented. Web analytics, we thought they had kind of high switching costs. Then we said, tag management systems, they had high switching costs. And yet, Adobe's making their entire customer base is having to switch from one TMS to another over the next few years. CDP sounds like you close the deal, you get it implemented and functioning, then it's going to be a really, really tough sell to displace them. Unless, I guess, you go to we're bringing in a second CDP. We're going to feed that CDP from our first CDP and slowly, decommission. It's actually kind of terrifying.
That sounds really scary.
I mean, you're making a big bet, and people are trying to make an informed bet, which is probably why all of these guides are coming out. Hey, can I read through this list of 93 and see the future? Which one of these are the most able to see the future and have built something that is going to still be working in 3 years or 5 years? And which ones have made, have effectively built something on OS2?
Well, there. And I think the other thing that I would think about is sort of how much is CDP driving itself versus business requirements driving acquisition of CDP. In other words, when companies sit down and like, we need to think about our CDP situation, do they really have a strong set or roadmap of what they're trying to accomplish? Or is it sort of like, ooh, I really want to get all my customer data together and do cool stuff. I don't know what it is yet, but I heard I need a CDP to do it. And I think probably everybody's on some sort of gradient, but I think I feel like it's more of the latter than the former right now.
Really? That scares the shit out of me. If someone said to me like, hey, let's invest all this money and time, and by the way, data and analytics, you're going to be working closely with this team to help integrate all of the data, and we're doing it because it's cool and we think we might do some fun stuff with it, I would probably get out my no button. Yes, I have a button that says no.
No, we can't all be as forward-looking as the company that you work with. So,
well, how forward-looking are the CDP vendors? I mean, how much?
Yeah.
It's always, I think, a challenge for vendors or providers to actually recognize the future that they're envisioning and not seeing that as the only future. But yeah, I mean, any provider, you can't, they will always, yes, we can do. I was actually on a call with one, and I was kind of impressed. They said, yeah, we don't really do that third party bit, unknown. And I was like, that's impressive. I want to buy them just for actually calling out that no, they are not going to bring in YouTube view customer level data. But that seems like a challenge as well. Like, as you talk to these vendors, Todd, do they see the choices, the things that they're not trying to do clearly?
Yes. And so some of them will kind of flat out say that they're not going to get into certain areas, and others are super excited about some of the things that they have planned. So excited, in fact, that it's, you know, at an NDA level to just talk about what's coming in the first quarter of next year, which is, you know, it's on one hand, it's exciting. On the other hand, it's frustrating because there's so much differentiation. We haven't even used AI and machine learning haven't even come up yet in this conversation. But, you know, obviously the forward-looking CDPs are all talking about the AI and what that's going to do for orchestration. So, and in fact, maybe the AI is even going to tell you what kind of data to collect. Who knows, right? It's getting very crazy with AI and machine learning. So certainly it can be hard to look and say, you know, is this really visionary or is this a whole collection of buzzwords that's being kind of put on a product roadmap here?
There's so many meta analyses that I want to go through that list of 93 and say how many say AI or machine learning on their website. And I mean, I'll sympathize with 93 product managers. How the hell are they keeping up with, you know, what's the reality? Right. And that's a problem. And we've got a mature consolidated space like web analytics. One vendor has gross misinformation about what another, you know, vendor can do. I mean, it would be I'd hate to be a product, because all you can do is you have to just talk about how awesome you are, because there's no way that you're going to be able to realistically say, you know, here's how we actually are different from the competitive set that you, customer X, are considering, the three providers you're considering. Here's how we're different.
Fortunately, there's no shortage of providers who are willing to tell us how awesome they are. So I think if you go to them with specific questions, that's the best that we can do right now is to really put some forethought into that and go to vendors with either the same or very similar questions to try to tease out the differences between them.
It's almost as if we really need someone familiar with the space to sort of create a consistent guide.
Like a resource almost.
Yeah, like a resource so that people can start to separate fact from marketing as the iconoclastic Jim Kane would say, hype lies and shitty sales guys.
Well, to be fair, that's definitely why I started down the path. I spent long enough time towing the line for one particular provider, and I've done that in the past as well in the web analytics industry. And when you come out of that, you really want to know, what is everybody else really doing? I want to understand that. I want to help other organizations figure that out so that hopefully they don't make the wrong decision, or they make a better or more informed decision with a little extra information.
So let's talk about core metrics for a little bit.
Wait, don't you mean what's it called now? Customer experience analytics with Watson.
Watson customer experience analytics. Yeah, you got it.
Oh, okay.
He stays in touch with the old.
Yeah, you gotta stay. All right. Actually, what we're gonna do right now, Tim, is something we like to do on the show called the Last Call. So we just go around the horn, talk about something we've seen that's interesting. It might be of interest to our listeners. Todd, you're our guest. What is your last call?
All right. So I guess it's kind of holiday gift giving season. So I wanted to pull out one particular gift that was a big win in my household, which is Adafruit Technologies Circuit Express, I think is what it's called. So it's like a little device that you can use to either teach yourself or your kids some basic programming and kind of engineering skills. Very cool stuff. Adafruit Technologies. They have a Circuit Playground Express is what it's called.
Like what age range?
5 and up.
Okay.
It's nice.
You've been working with it? Is it helping you out?
So yeah, obviously you get much different use out of it as a 5-year-old as a 10-year-old, let's say. And there's lots of add-ons and things that you can pile on top of it. But it has a bunch of built-in sensors like accelerometers and things like that that you can kind of play awesome. With. You program it with a really easy to use web interface, which is just a lot of fun. Yeah.
So you learn kind of loops and variables and that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Too?
Yes.
That is fantastic.
All right, Tim, what's your last call?
I'm going to do 2 different articles from Medium.com because they're both cool and I don't want them to languish too long. One was by Alexandros Papagiorgio, which was called Choosing Between R and Python for the Digital Analyst. So it is for anybody who has been like, I'm about convinced I need to learn one of these. The holidays are coming up. I'll have some downtime. Which should I learn? He does a really, really thorough job of kind of comparing the two from the background of a digital analyst. He comes down slightly on the side of R, but it's a really well-written article where he says, look, these are the things that might actually, you know, tip you to Python instead. And yes, in a perfect world, learn both. The other post was by, I picked it up on the Measure Slack, Rich Page wrote it, which said it was called the best visitor feedback questions for improving any website. So he basically has a huge list kind of broken up in different groups of questions that if you are going to, especially if you're heading into kind of the CRO world, of ways of survey questions you could or should ask, which just seems like a great resource when you get a client or get your company to actually say, sure, we'll do a survey. What should we ask? It's a great list.
Awesome.
So those were 2 and they were quick.
That was really quick.
But I'm not done yet. No.
Okay. Hey, Mo, what is your last call?
I have 2, but they're intertwined. So I feel like it's really one. So I've been reading up a lot at the moment. I'm really passionate about understanding what makes a good leader and what are good leadership qualities. And it was actually something we were talking about in Measure Slack a few months ago, which has started me down this journey. And I read this article, which the title has nothing to do with the content. It's called Work for Someone Who Values Your Talents, Hard Work and Loyalty. Life is Too Short for Anything Else. And I'm going to butcher this name. It's Oleg Vishnelpolsky. But in it, he talks about the job of a leader is summed up as pride, where P is promote, R is reward, I is involve, D is defend, and E is empower, which I really love that concept. But then when I read Laszlo Bock's book, Work Rules, I actually found myself kind of in conflict because one of the things that Laszlo talks about is the fact that like promoting and rewarding should not be something that a manager actually has within their tool belt. So now I'm kind of thinking along the lines of like the role of a leader is I'd, so like involve, defend and empower. So I'm just doing lots of thinking on this. I really recommend Laszlo's book, Work Rules. If nothing else, he talks about all the really cool experiments that their people and culture team do on their own staff, which I also find really interesting. So
once you figure that out, if you could maybe spend a little time with Michael, kind of get him
I could definitely use the help. Absolutely could use the help. But it's mostly because there's some real tough cases. You know,
so boss, what's your last call?
Okay, easy. So yes, I also carrying a 2-fer today. And so first ran across this recently and it's both scary and exciting. It is draft legislation in the United States being introduced by Senator Ron Wyden, the Consumer Data Protection Act. And so things like GDPR used to be over there. Now they're over here. So it'll be very interesting over the next a little while to see whether or not this legislation gets legs and gets picked up and makes any progress. In any case, if we were thinking that maybe we wouldn't have to grapple with this on U.S. shores, I think
so. That's federal instead
federal.
Of
federal. That's a California. Federal okay. Trade Commission Act as opposed to the California legislation that's pending. And then the other one is a little bit more fun and or slash scary.
Literally anything would be more fun than federal legislation.
Draft legislation.
Okay.
So yeah. To be clear, I've not read the full document. So I ran across this because I think I got it from Ian Thomas, and he posted this. So there's a guy who is curating a list of awful AI. David Dow has a list of awful AI and its uses. And so it gives you kind of like a list of all these different AIs that have been used for terrible things. So, you know, don't jump into that AI boat too quick, all you CDP vendors.
I mean, that sounds like the Kathy O'Neill, the Weapons of Math Destruction.
Yeah, probably book. Somewhat yeah. similar vein. Yeah. Those of you who like to take a skeptical view of all things AI, it's a good little primer and gives you some talking points and some tools to talk about. All right.
I mean, we're so happy to announce that the podcast is now an AI powered customer data platform.
Yeah,
instead
right.
of the digital analytics power podcast.
Yeah, the blockchain analytics power hour.
Yeah,
it's too funny. All right. Well, obviously, as you've been listening, you've probably been thinking, I have a very specific question, or where can I get this guide, or how do I get in touch with Todd Belcher to ask more questions, or any of us. And the correct answer is on the Measure Slack or on Twitter or on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. CDPs are not going away, and there's much more work to do to really illuminate what their role is in the grander scheme of marketing. And we really appreciate, Todd, you coming on and talking to us again about it and helping kind of take that next step for us and our audience. So maybe the future is not totally foreseen, but one thing I know that for my two co-hosts and I, we can fully recommend is that you keep analyzing.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Measure Slack group. We welcome your comments and questions. Visit us on the web at analyticshour.io, facebook.com/analyticshour, or at Analytics Hour on Twitter.
So smart guys wanted to fit in, so they made up a term called analytics. Analytics don't work.
We're a health check friendly facility. It has been 0 days since our last incident.
And I guess, Todd, by the time this comes out, your CDP guide will be out.
It ought to be.
Good, because it's my last call. No, I'm just kidding. I can make different waveforms.
Are you lost today? How much have you drunk?
You differentiate yourself from him in some way?
Yeah, that dude's a fucking pretender.
Yeah.
Oh, we're good. I think now it's a challenge.
Now it's a drinking game.
Rock flag and 93 vendors.